All right, so this is my interview with my grandpa, Richard, and I'll be asking you a few questions today, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, if you could hold on to one memory of your life forever, which would it be?
Well, since you're my grandson saying that, I would say the birth of your mother. That's the highlight of our life and family members. That's our life is our family, so I would say one of the highlights of my life would be the birth of our daughter.
Can you tell me about someone you'll always remember?
That would have to be my father. He and I were extremely close and lost him at a very, very early age. I was 22 years old, and he was 57. So that was one person that I miss and very special to me.
Was there anything specific that you liked doing with him?
The business he was in, my two sisters and brother, we helped him out in the ice cream business, packaging ice cream, and I always enjoyed working with him because we were close and I liked to be around him at the time.
Can you tell me about a person who has been the kindest to you in your life?
The kindest to me would have to be my wife, your grandma. You know, we've been married starting next year, it'll be 50 years, and we've had extremely good life together, and I think we've been nice to each other.
What's your best memory of you two together?
Boy. I would say vacationing. You know, we always went on vacations with Kendall, your mother. We very, very seldom took a vacation without taking her with us. So all the memories that we had on vacations together are probably the special ones, special memories.
What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
Most grateful? Family. By far the family. You look around today and you look at families that are broken and separated, and I just feel very, very fortunate that our family is close, everybody's healthy, and physically and mentally healthy. With all the social problems going on today, I can see it's easy for the younger generation to drift into bad habits, and for the ones that don't, like yourself, I admire you for doing that, for fighting it every day, because I'm sure it is a struggle at school and everything. So that's what I'm most grateful for.
Yeah, it is quite a hassle to, you know,
get through everything. Sure.
Yeah,
it's there's a lot of peer pressure, I'm sure, because it was when I was going to school, and I know that today it's twice as bad, if not three times as bad, the peer pressure. So.
Right. Can you tell me about someone who has had a big influence on your life?
The biggest influence on my life, again, I'm going back to my father. He was very, I wouldn't say strict, but, you know, he was, my mother and father both were very adamant about rules. Growing up, you know, we had to be home at a certain time. If we were 5 minutes late, you know, he didn't throw a fit, but he just let us know that we were 5 minutes late and not to let it happen. And he taught me to abide by the rules at home, and I've kind of kept that whole philosophy. You know, you live by the rules, so it's helped.
What punishments, I guess, did he give you for breaking the rules,
you know,
I guess?
I'm the youngest of the five of us in the family. And when we get together, when we talk about mother and dad, none of us were ever spanked or anything like that growing up. And we wish we were, because we'd rather be spanked than have our dad talk to us. When he gave us a talking to, it was worse than a spanking. We said, please just spank us for what we did wrong. Don't give us these lectures. But that was the biggest thing is, you know, and he kept a level head, never yelled. I never heard my mother and father yell or anything like that. They very level headed and would let us know that what we did wrong and not to do it again. So that was the big thing growing up with that.
What made the lectures worse than the spanking?
You know, I looking back, I don't really remember what it was about it. Mm-hmm. Whether it was tone of voice or the expression on his face. I know your mother says the same thing about me, that, oh, there's that look from Dad. He's serious. So apparently it must be a family thing that when you talk to somebody, you have that look in your eyes that you mean business. And to listen and take note of it. So,
what lesson did he teach besides abide by the rules?
What lesson? I don't know if there was any lessons. I guess it was just family too. You know, to love family and take care of family and. That was it I can think of.
So he basically cared a lot about his family and wanted you to as well.
Definitely. We're a very, very close family.
All right.
So we had, there were five children in the family, and there was, I had a brother that I was 3 years old when he passed away. He got, was killed in a sporting accident, and I don't remember him, but there were originally five of us in the family, and now there's just the two sisters and my brother. But I don't remember him being the youngest. So, you know, that was one thing that, with my mother growing up, talking about him losing a son and all that, it was pretty hard for her. So.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
Happiest memories? I guess, you know, this will sound crazy, but your birth, being a grandson, the birth of our daughter, having a healthy baby in the family is always great. I'd say that's one of the happiest moments, besides getting married, but having a birth of your child and grandson and all that, very happy moment.
Can you tell me about one of your more difficult memories?
Difficult? I would say probably the hardest was leaving mother and dad when I was going over to Vietnam at the airport, because I know how hard it was on them. So it was that was probably the hardest time. And the happiest was returning. So.
Who were some of the people that you met in Vietnam? Like, did you make any good friends over there?
Unfortunately, the fellows that I kind of ran around with, I have not kept in contact with, but each time when I was going through training, you were close to guys, and then you, after you graduate from your school, you get kind of split up and go into different areas, and you meet new friends. But in the military, you meet some real close friends quick. And then when you get out of the military, you just don't see them again. But memories there with those guys. So, but I remember them. And it was good memories of all the fellas I met in the military.
Because recently I just read a book called The Things They Carried. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
what was it?
The Things They Carried. Uh-huh. It's by Tim O'Brien, who was also in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And basically he told, it was basically like this book full of like short stories that kind of like had they, maybe real, maybe they're not real, but they're basically all just short stories about the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. There's like one that's about a soldier who brought his girlfriend over from Vietnam. A lot of the, because one of his like partners or whatever told the story to like a group or whatever, mm-hmm. but like not many of them really believed it, since, you know, it's like, how can you bring a girl over to your girlfriend over to Vietnam? But basically he told the story, is basically he brought this one soldier brought his girlfriend over to Vietnam, and basically throughout the entire time she was there, she started off as like the typical, you know, dainty, you know, girl or whatever. And the minute she moved on to like being like kind of like a part of like the Vietnamese culture, like one time he caught her like with like a necklace of like human tongues or whatever and stuff like that. So it was pretty far fetched, but it could be true, but parts of it probably aren't, but most of it is. Do you have any odd stories like that or anything that from over there?
Yeah, but some of them I don't really like to talk about. I mean, the odds when it comes to things like your tongue around your neck and that kind of stuff. But I guess the main stories were, you know, just especially when I was in Vietnam, the friends that I met, the fellas that worked for me, you know, that my flight engineer and crew chief, and that we were really close because we spent 24/7 together for 6 or 8 months, so we got to be close and we had fun. You know, when you're a 21-year-old and you're in that kind of a situation, you do crazy things sometimes. Nothing illegal or anything like that, those are good memories and bad memories. So sometimes that good and bad goes into gray areas, but it's memorable.
I won't try to press you into saying anything yeah. you know you don't want to say. So what are you proudest of in your life?
Family, again. Your daughter, your father, and you. My wife. So that's what I'm the proudest of.
How has your life been different than what you'd imagined?
Well, for 30 years, probably the funniest thing that I tell people, for, you know, 30 years I sold children's clothing, traveled and sold. And when I graduated from college, if they handed me my diploma and said, okay, here you go, you're going to be selling children's clothing for the rest of your life, I probably would have tore the diploma up. But that's one of the strangest things looking back, that I didn't think that that's what I would be doing for my career. But it's been very good, and I can't complain in one single bit. So.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, as a good father, good husband. I don't have to be remembered as being a hero or being the inventor of the cure for every disease in the world. So, you know, just being an honest person and being happy.
Is there anything you'd never told me but want to tell me now?
Turn that off. Is there anything that I've never told you? I don't know. We communicate pretty much. I could tell you all sorts of stories about your mother, but then I'd get in trouble.
Is there any story that wouldn't get you into trouble?
No, not nothing bad. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Things that that I'd like to tell you that I never have, or pointers. You're getting ready to go into college and things like that. The do's and don't, which your mother and I both do as I say, not as I did. So that's the main thing.
What was your fondest memory of college?
Of college? Mm-hmm. Well, I was married and, you know, had your mother as our little baby. So going to school full-time, working full-time, and being married and having a baby, we had a good time because we didn't have any money. And, you know, we had friends that we just went to each other's apartment or house to play cards on the weekends, and that was our, you look back at it and say, man, that was good times when you didn't have anything, but that was good. Good memory. We still talk about it.
Are there things about me you've always wanted to know but never asked?
About you? Trying to think, is there anything are you driving safe?
Well, about that.
Describe safe.
Well, I have gotten on the roundabout right next to our house or whatever. Oh. I have kind of pulled out in front of someone before. You know, I've done that twice. Road rage, I don't know if it's road rage. Like, I don't scream or whatever. Like, you know, normal road rage, I guess. But, no, I do occasionally, you know, call people stuff, but not going to say it here.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
But other than that, you know, there was one time where I was driving to the mall, and I was had to go into a left turn lane. But by the time I reached the light, I was in the lane just to the right of it, so I was kind of just stuck there trying to kind of inch my way into the lane to the left, and I got a few angry honks, but...
Well, that was, you know, for 30 years when I had the office in Chicago and had to fight that traffic, you know, sometimes I had a little bit of road rage, but then as time went on, I said, you know, it's silly to do that because you don't gain anything by screaming or yelling or cutting in front of people because a mile down the road, they're right beside you again, so what's the big hurry? So that's road rage is not in my vocabulary anymore.
Because there was a one time where I was pulling into this neighborhood, and I was at the stop sign, and the person right behind me just pulled out right behind me and blew right through the stop sign right behind me, or whatever. And that, you know, kind of got me a little angry, because, like, you still have to use the stop sign, and I'm just slowing down to, you know,
Sometimes when people do crazy things like that on the road, you get mad. But when I get mad at them, it's like, why are you taking my life and your life in danger by doing, you know, cutting over or speeding or slamming on the brakes, or, you know, you're going to, you know, end up getting somebody hurt at some point in time. So,
because I was one time trying to turn left into the neighborhood, and you know how there's, like, no, like, little indent or whatever for people, so they just kind of just drove right through the grass around me to get me going, yeah. So that was pretty funny when I saw that happen, but,
so... Everybody's in a big hurry, that's for sure, to get nowhere.
So, are there any other questions you want to ask me?
No, just, you know, it's, no questions that I haven't asked you before, but, ask you about what college are you going to and what do you want to do? Those questions that people keep saying that to you. There's no hurry. Take your time. Enjoy every day. When you do go off to school, enjoy it. Don't worry about, I have to do this, I have to do that. Study hard, make the grades, and, you know, life is nothing but forks in the road. And the more you learn, the more you'll know which one of those forks to take that'll take you where you want. Enjoy. Take the fork that you want, not what somebody wants you to take. You know, if you want to do this, go that way. Go with your heart. You're smart enough and everything that your gut's going to tell you which way to go. Your heart, don't let too many people influence you. People can help you, guide you a little bit, but let your gut and heart take you down that road that you want to do, because it's a long, working 30 or 40 years is a long time in a job that you hate, because there's a lot of people that do it. So that's my 2 cents for you.
Did you ever have a dream job when you were younger?
You know, I have been very, very fortunate that every job I've had, I've enjoyed. You know, I started out in high school as a lifeguard, and, you know, that's being a high school kid and a lifeguard at a lake was just kind of like a dream job. And then going into the military after high school and college, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed the military, and that's might have been one thing that I would have probably enjoyed staying in the military as a career, but I wanted to go back to school. That was more important. And after that, and then getting into the clothing business and traveling, I didn't like being gone as much as I was traveling, but that was part of the job, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then when I retired from that and got into the one of my hobbies was motorcycling, so working at a Harley-Davidson dealership was another dream job that I loved for 15 years after retiring. So I've been very fortunate. So
was there anything you missed from the military?
Something I missed in the military?
And something that you missed from being in it?
You know, I enjoyed the military for the simple reason that I like that structured life. You know, very structured. It's kind of like being in business in a certain sense. But the military didn't bother me being structured and having to take orders and things like that. That didn't bother me a bit, but I liked the structure of it. So maybe that was growing up from what my father said, you know, this is the way your life is, should be. But I was never a rebel or anything like that, or a troublemaker or anything like that. So that would have been the thing with the military. I liked the structure of it, so.
All right, that's all the questions. Thank you for doing this.
No more questions. This is fun.
Thank you for doing this.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you.